You're listening to KGOU. I'm Richard Bassett. The first lawsuit in the country seeking to hold a pharmaceutical company responsible for the opioid crisis is currently awaiting a verdict in Oklahoma State Court. Jackie Fortier of State Impact Oklahoma covered the seven-week trial in Norman.
The Oklahoma lawsuit originally targeted three drug makers, but Teva and Purdue Pharma settled before the trial began on May 28th. The case continued with Johnson & Johnson as the sole defendant. The state's legal team argued that the company used aggressive marketing tactics that led to thousands of overdose deaths. Instead of a jury, a state judge heard the case. Attorney Brad Beckworth, in his closing arguments Monday, said opioids had flooded Norman itself and the surrounding county.
But what we do have in Cleveland County is 135 prescription opioids for every adult. Those didn't get here from drug cartels. They got here from one cartel, the pharmaceutical industry cartel. And the kingpin of it all is Johnson & Johnson.
In legal terms, Oklahoma argued the company created a public nuisance of opioid overprescribing. But Johnson & Johnson's attorney, Larry Ottaway, disputed that idea in his closing argument. He said that the company's opioids have a legitimate medical use for people in debilitating pain and are prescribed by doctors who should be reading federally approved labels when they decide who should get an opioid prescription.
The FDA label clearly set forth the risk of addiction, abuse, and misuse that could lead to overdose and death. Don't tell me that doctors weren't aware of the risks.
Earlier in the trial, the state's expert witness, Dr. Andrew Kolodny, testified that Johnson & Johnson did more than push its own pills. Until 2016, it also profited by manufacturing narcotic raw ingredients and then selling them to other companies, including Purdue, which makes OxyContin.
Purdue Pharma and the Sackers have been stealing the spotlight, but Johnson & Johnson in some ways has been even worse.
Kolodny says that's why the company downplayed the risks to doctors of opioids in general, knowing that almost any opioid prescription would benefit its bottom line. Some of the trial's most dramatic moments came when a Johnson & Johnson regional business director, Kimberly Deem Eshelman, took the stand. Here's Brad Beckworth questioning her.
One pill can kill, right?
Potentially.
You've known that since the beginning.
There is an abuse potential.
And there's a death potential, too.
There is, if used inappropriately.
The trial also focused on the role of drug sales representatives. Drew Dieselhorst was one of the busiest that Johnson & Johnson employed in Oklahoma. Records showed that she kept visiting doctors who had been disciplined by the state for overprescribing and doctors who had patients die of overdoses. But Dieselhorst testified that she didn't know about the deaths and was never instructed to stop targeting those high-prescribing physicians.
My job was to be a sales rep. My job was not to figure out the red flags.
More than 1,600 state and local governments have filed opioid lawsuits. That's why the Oklahoma trial is being so closely watched. It's not only the first, but it's also unique. Elizabeth Birch is a law professor at the University of Georgia who writes about mass torts.
You know, everybody is looking to see what's going to happen with this case, whether it's going to be tobacco all over again or whether it's going to go the way that the litigation against the gun manufacturers went. That was also on a theory of public nuisance, but it didn't fare particularly well.
Birch says this is the first time public nuisance is being tried with opioids.
Johnson & Johnson in some ways is right to raise the question about, you know, if we're going to apply public nuisance to us under these circumstances, what are the limits?
If the state's claim prevails, Big Pharma could have to spend billions of dollars in Oklahoma to help ease the epidemic. The state is asking that the company be forced to pay more than $17 billion over 30 years. That would pay for opioid addiction treatment and a slew of other public health services.
I think it's the right strategy to go for the $17 billion. If the judge awards them less, then, you know, you can't say you didn't try.
Oklahoma Judge Thad Bachman is expected to announce a verdict in a few weeks. He alone will decide if Johnson & Johnson should pay, and if so, how much. For State Impact, I'm Jackie Fortier.